it feels like most of that territory has been covered. You know, there's shadow work. I mean, there's so many things that have been discovered that are really powerful and very useful for people. This is like the Wild West. I mean, this is like a whole new world of what's possible together.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and it's always my pleasure to be with you here tonight on another brand new episode of the Autoimmune Hour. And, you know, I think for the last while here, I've been on a kick, and I feel like we're coming full circle here, or like to the completion of this kick, and that's all about understanding connection, the power of energy, and how that plays into our health and wellness, and the realization that there maybe just is more out there than we can actually, you know, feel and touch and that type of thing. So I have an amazing guest on. You know, it's one of those where you get introduced to somebody and there's just a connection. I love that about the show, is I just meet the most fascinating people. And our guest tonight, Patricia Albert, is one of those people that was just miraculously appeared in my life. And I said, you got to be on the show, because she's at ground zero of an evolutionary stream of spiritual awakening. Just as meditation can be an opening to an individual awakening, Patricia originated the Mutual Awakening Process, and it's a 21st century spiritual practice that empowers us to enter new dimensions of relating and expanding our consciousness together. And I'm so excited, because one of the things I feel like has been lost for the past, I don't know, decade or more, is this feeling of connection and that we're not alone and there's more to it than we think there is to it, especially the power of community and connection. We're going to talk about all of that and expanding our consciousness together. She's got an amazing bio. I'll get more into that as we go, but she's the best-selling author of Evolutionary Relationships, Unleashing the Power of Mutual Awakening. And welcome, Patricia. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here with you.
Oh, it's so exciting. I know we had a couple chats offline here about this practice of what mutual awakening.
Yeah.
Describe to us how you envision mutual awakening and what you teach.
Yeah, mutual awakening practice is a particular practice that arose really out of a direct experience of awakening in my own experience. It was unbidden. It wasn't something I created because I thought it was a good idea. I can tell you this. I mean, the history is kind of interesting, because I was a spiritual teacher for many years, transformational work with Werner Erhard and the Landmark Forum organization. I did that since I was 18, and I'm 67, so that was a long time ago. I did that for about 12 years, and then, you know, started to move into more spiritual work. That was more direct. And I ended up meeting this beautiful man that was 8 years younger, who was a German mystic and was very involved with the Osho kind of work, which is really different than what I had been involved in. And we fell in love. He was quite a deep meditator. He meditated kind of all the time. Like, in a way, it wasn't just with his eyes closed. He like moved through the world in a meditative state. That was kind of his thing. And we fell in love, and we were together for 4 years before he actually died. He had a car accident and was brain injured. So it was a tragic ending. But But for the 4 years that we were together, we were so in love and we were so both obsessed with spiritual, you know, connection and with the divine. I mean, we were equally like that. So we were madly in love with each other. And then we were deeply inside that connection together. And what happened was something I didn't know until, I don't even know how common this is, but I had no words for it, but we entered into a shared consciousness that was being awakened. So in 24 hours, like the way we were together, it wasn't just some tantric thing or some being in love, you know, like high level of being in love. We were, but the way we were surrendered into this incredible intimacy and being together and being in this sort of meditative way of being, it was like it gave permission to the divine to just like go crazy, waking us up. I mean, it was like, and we were in the same consciousness continuously, which was really, and inside each other and inside something that we couldn't like stop. You know, it's like one of those things where when people have had individual awakenings, there's a certain point where there's like a fire, like there's something that takes over that just starts to take you somewhere and break you apart and undo you and you can't sleep and then something else happens. But it was happening together and we were inside like the same reality together, which was amazing because usually you're alone in your experience of connection. So when that happened, you know, when I lost him, it was, you know, horrendous, to put it mildly, because I'd been awakened and there was an intense experience of love, you know, with the divine and with him. And then his body was gone, you know, he was dead. And so I was left just trying to deal with the loss of him and this, you know, continuous awakened experience, which was, I didn't like understand completely. And it took me a number of years. It took me about 10, 12 years of, I continued to teach and do things. And I just figured it was my own personal problem, you know, to try to find my way through what I was going through. And about, I don't know, 15 years ago, I realized that what I had experienced with him, which I just thought was my own private something that had happened, that I felt like it was time on the planet, it was time in the world, that something about what we had experienced, that maybe it was time for us to move beyond just our individual work, our individual process, our individual transformation, our individual healing, our individual meditation and yoga. And, you know, like everybody was working on themselves individually, which is what, you know, we had been involved in, you know, what I'd been teaching to thousands of people. But it felt like there's something new. Like, we're not going to do that forever. You know, there seemed to be something inefficient about that too. Like, if you really think about it, it was kind of like, really? Is everyone really going to work on themselves to get to the point where they're like the Dalai Lama or whatever? I mean, this is just an impractical, you know, plan. I trust my visions. And so I just started with a group. I said, look, I put a group together, people that trusted me. And I said, we're not going to work on ourselves. We're going to do a weekend. We're going to spend 3 days together and we're going to see if something is possible between us that I experienced with Peter. If we turn towards each other in some similar ways, I started to discern that we were oriented towards each other and to the divine in a particular way. And then it just kind of like opened up this, you know, like, you know, something was unleashed. And so we started and it was amazing. Do you know what I mean? Like, so the mutual awakening practice, long story short, was the most simplified version. It's a half hour practice, which brings two people into a certain level of consciousness and connection that has that endless quality, like meditation. Like when you really learn how to meditate, it's never the same and it can go everywhere. You know, there's a kind of depth to it. And this has the same quality, but it's eyes open with another. And instead of going into a theta delta state, which is a different brain state, which is meditation takes you into a kind of letting go and not wanting to move. This brings you into a whole brain state, and it's a more gamma frequency state, which brings you into a flow state and brings your hemispheres together and does a whole lot of other things. So, you know, I've learned in the last 11 years of teaching this, how powerful, you know, how amazingly powerful it has been, and how utterly different it is from meditation, and yet has that kind of depth. And people that are meditators, or, you know, people that have never done, there are a lot of people actually that didn't even like meditation, that when they learn how to do this, they go, oh, this is like, I'm more designed for this way of going into the depth.
Wow. Yeah. Now, I'm curious, let's see a little bit more of the differences of, do you feel something different? Or I know with my meditation practice, it's, you know, me within myself.
Yes.
And I'm really curious about it. I'm so fascinated by this idea of, I've had experiences throughout my life where I felt deep connections with someone, never sure. put a name to it, or felt like it, I made it a practice. But, you know, I've had experiences where even felt like I could tell where they were within a room of, large room of people, knowing generally being able to feel someone type of thing. Is that sort of, I mean, let's go into a little more detail.
I can give you some comparisons, because
that'd be great.
It's a big conversation, actually. And it's,
yeah, I know, we've got 53 minutes.
Part of it that's exciting is all of it was given. Do you know what I mean? Like, this was nothing, you know, like whatever happened between me and him, I was just in love with him, you know, and it ended up becoming this whole thing. And since we've been practicing, it's become more illumined. Oh, you know, like what is actually distinct and different. So it's actually a different consciousness. This is non-dual consciousness is what you access when you're meditating correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one would hope that you access a sort of non-dual awakening. And witnessing consciousness is developed. So when you're meditating, you know, you're trying not to get caught by identifying with your thoughts and the various things that are arising, right? So that you become the space that's holding it. With this, it's the name, the consciousness, like I didn't have a name for it. And then I heard A.H. Almos, who created the Diamond Heart approach. I had worked with him for 8.5 years, long time ago. And I didn't hear him speak about this till way after I had left, because he just doesn't talk about this very much. But he says, he called it unilocal awakening. And he said, it's absolutely a different kind of consciousness. Like, you can't even compare it to non-dual. It's like, they're like in two different worlds,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was fascinating, because I, you know, he's a pretty brilliant guy. Unilocal is your awakening. First of all, it's not witnessing. There's a kind of being so inside and surrendered, and like you're moving, like there's a spontaneity that you're inside of. It's more love-based rather than consciousness-based.
Interesting.
So if you think, love is actually a different phenomena.
Right.
And when you're doing this practice, and like we're doing it together, let's say you and I are in the basic practice, which is the mutual awakening practice, and we're entering into something together. Part of what happens is, the other difference is, when you're meditating, you're tracking yourself subjectively. So in the world of growth that almost everybody's in, you know, you'd say 99.9999% is what you're developing is your subjective experience. Your subjective experience is you look inside, you're tracking your feelings, your energy, your body sensations, your sensitivity to being grounded to the earth, your thoughts, you know, your energies, you know, I mean, basically, but it's all this bubble of you.
Right.
You know, it's the Sharon bubble or the Patricia bubble. And if somebody says to you, you know, what are you feeling or what are you experiencing? You know, you tend to look in and down. Most people either look up or they close their eyes, because they're trying to sense into and not be distracted by the outside, not be distracted by you. I'm looking over here. So I'm going, well, what's actually happening for me? You know, I'm sensing this, because, you know, in the way that you're trained there, you're trained not to get lost.
Right, or to come back. If you wander out to the outside, we'll come right back.
And not get lost in you, and to have boundaries, and to have, you know, like the sense of the world is out there and I'm over here. And then either I'm in my subjective experience of enlightenment, you know, I'm opening up to higher consciousness, but you could be experiencing this amazing experience of higher consciousness. And I'm sitting here thinking about, what bag I'm going to buy when I go to New York or something. You know, I mean, it could be a completely, you know, you're in one place and I'm like tracking going to Bloomingdale's. You know, I mean, it could be a completely different thing. So with this, what happens is that, and over here, you're coming from your soul incarnation. So generally, it's like your deep, authentic self, your essence, your soul. Do you know what I mean? Like there's an individuated quality of being incarnated here on earth as the deepest part of yourself, which would probably be called your essential self or your soul. And the soul is growing, it's developing, it's learning through karma, it's making, you know, choices. There's dualistic good and bad choices, and it's growing and becoming a more embodied soul, one would hope, right? Or the pearl. That's what Diamond Heart used to call it. You know, a pearl is someone who's able to be their soul, but in the world,
right?
And not revert to just being your personality or your ego. So there's that. Over here is this completely different way of doing it. So the origination point is what I teach people. I was given this opening that we are, that only comes into existence when you're pouring forth from your origin point and I'm pouring forth from mine. So there's literally, it comes into existence together. Oh. And the origin point is not the soul. That's the thing that's gotten clear in the last 2 years. I mean, like, it was like, because I kept going, it's not the soul, but I don't know what it is. And, you know, like, I'm just sort of being guided. And then it started to become more illumined and reveal itself, is that the origin point, which only comes into existence when there is another. Because it's a pouring through, it's a pouring forth. It's literally comes, it exists because you and I are together in a particular way, or others. And it is not part of the soul incarnation. It's literally coming from a place where it's never been tainted. It's never been through any process. And it's very particular. It's like your experience of home, like of being so particularly the source of yourself. And when we are together in that way, part of it is like in this flow back and forth, it kind of goes like this, is you're being, it's almost like it's calling forth as you give yourself to me and as I give myself to you in this flow, you feel more and more your divine self than ever before. People literally come more and more into the real experience of like their depth and their divinity, for lack of a better way to call it anything. And so when that is present, the karma, like all of the different things that you're working on in the individual journey kind of aren't there. Now we're a hybrid, obviously, you know, we do have pain and shadow and various things, but I found that the more people are in this connection and they're deepening from origin point and they're beginning to build a larger circuitry with other human beings from there, like a foundation, there's stuff that just starts falling away. There's a kind of self-consciousness, you know, when you're constantly dealing with you and your subjective experience, I mean, you're endlessly self-conscious. You're almost like taking your emotional temperature all the time, right? You know, and even though we're all being really good, we're trying to like know who we are, what we want, and where we're going and stuff like that. It can also lean into that side of you just become so overly focused on every little thing. It can actually become in the way to some degree. And so I found that when people are in this flow, they start to feel more themselves and actually feel less self-conscious. Their superego tends to begin to shut up. You know, the part of this always telling you how you should be, it starts to be like, kind of like goes away, you know, it falls away. And there's more of this flow state of spontaneity, of creativity, of movement, and you're focusing on, it's like an inner outer. It's like you and I together, we're in this inside space, but we're inside together kind of out here, which doesn't really make sense, but it's not interior. There's a depth that we're entering into that has lots of dimensionality, but it's like we're in it together and we're not looking inside ourselves. So did that make sense? I mean, that's a little...
Yeah. No, I have a few questions though that came up for me. I guess my first one is very basic. There was a lot of, I'll say, the words of like you and I. Can it happen in like a larger group? Can it be a we? Like
yes.
Numerous?
No, I mean,
are doing this flow together?
Absolutely. So we have like the base practice is first origin point you have to find there. Because otherwise, if I ask you, what are you experiencing? You're going to go in and down and you're going to go separate on me.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go separate. And then hopefully I'm listening to you compassionately and trying to understand what you're saying. But we're totally separate. None of it's going to work. The other thing is you have to learn how to track what's there. Without making it a concept, without making it a story, without trying to figure out, like you have to learn how to like be here and like let it reveal itself in a particular way, which is what happened with Peter and I. We were just so in the moment. We were so together and we were always like, what's happening with it? You know, like we were always kind of discovering what was actually unfolding in this inner outer space. So once you learn how to do that, we have a global community where people get on and practice in twos and sometimes in threes. I have a deeper core, you know, group of people that are really interested in what's possible here. You know, they're pretty dedicated. And so we meet in person 2 to 3 times a year. And especially when we're in person and you've got 60 people in a room, you can do things that are unbelievable, you know, where you can have 6 people, 8 people in a group, and then another 8, and another 8, and then people move around. I mean, what I found was, and I'm so not like the type that would do a mandala or move people. I mean, this is not what I would have created, you know, like by any stretch of the imagination. But I discovered that when you have people in these different configurations, tracking and being together in different ways, something like opens up and starts to happen that is amazing. So we've done a lot of that over the last 11-12 years.
Oh my gosh.
And someday my fantasy is, you know, because people have to be trained, they have to get inside this. You can't just have a bunch of people trying to do this because it won't work. But if you have people trained, I mean, I would love to have a room of like 1,000 people that were actually able to come into this kind of shared connection and consciousness and circuitry, and then have something larger. I mean, I don't even know what would happen because I feel like divinity, like whatever is creating existence, whatever you want to call it, we're giving it a larger scale being. You know, I mean, Thich Nhat Hanh calls it the interbeing. So you have like, instead of a single cell creature, you have like 1,000 cell creature, you know, like that's right. A whole different level of complexity and capability. And so, you know, my dedication is to keep teaching people how to practice and then taking the ones who want to go deeper so that we can actually discover what kind of healing, what kind of health, what kind of everything that's possible. Because we have almost 8 billion people on the planet. I mean, I'm kind of thinking that, you know, groups that are able to go into a deep level of true living, functioning unity is going to be part of our future.
Oh, wow. I'm so fascinated. Just on the brushing the highlight here is I've had moments or experiences that lasted longer than a moment. I guess it's not a fair word, but where I've felt that connection I had no words for.
Yeah.
And I've been in that place of being somewhere that was not me, and yet once I'll say you come back to the conscious realm where you're talking to each other and you realize that they were there too.
Yeah.
You saw them there, but you don't.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm dreaming it, you know.
You were together.
Yeah, you start rationalizing it, and then you start sharing. You're like, oh my gosh, you saw the same, you know, there's this.
Right.
So I'm getting this at the one level because I've had experiences with that. I didn't know there was a name for it or anything. But I'm curious, can you share a couple of stories when you talk about the dream of, like, you know, large mass awakenings and healings and things? What are some things that you can actually say, like, you know, we were in this group and something happened?
Well, there's some different things. I mean, one thing just to kind of move into it is, mostly, even when you're with a group, everyone's in their separate little world. If you're standing in front of the room, which you've done public speaking, and you look out to the group, you know, either everyone's in their little world, and then if you're fascinating enough, they kind of pay attention to you, and they come into some level of oneness with you.
Right.
If you're lucky, right?
At least a percentage does.
Once in a while. But it's not, like, it's not a real oneness. You know, it's more like an attention oneness. And one of the things that our group, you know, the Evolutionary Collective Core, like, they're so attuned now to whether they're fractionalizing or staying. All I have to say is, come into my voice. So if you have a whole group of people right now and you say, okay, you know, whoever's listening, if you come into my voice, and there was, like, you know, 2,000 other people listening, there's some, everyone knows how to do that, even though it sounds completely weird, you know, to ask people to do that. You know, there's some location that all of a sudden everyone meet in.
You know, it's fascinating to me when you say those words. First off, my first thought is, that's a strange sentence. I mean, that's strange.
Yeah.
But some part of me knew what it meant.
Yeah, and you could do it. Like, you could come into my voice right now. You're more over here. I can feel you, right? Yeah.
Which is fascinating to me, because it's not a sentence you would normally
ever say.
Never say.
You never say to anybody.
Yet, I somehow intuitively knew what it meant.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
So all of the knowledge in working with the group is, there's a whole different realm of, what are we paying attention to? How do we stay in that unitive state? So as we listen, as we're intending something, as we're focusing, do you know what I mean? So there's a unified capacity that they have. Like, I can go like this, and they go, you know, and they literally can, like those jets, you know, when they fly right at each other's wings and they fly really fast. You have to learn how to do that. But then if you can do it, they can, like, fly around and do things that you and I, if we, you know, we would kill it each other. So there's a kind of excitement, you know, when you have a group that has the ability to go deep, and they know what it means to be inside that kind of mutual indwelling. What we're doing currently, I'll give you a practical story for immune, you know, makes sense.
Yes.
I think I told you 4 years ago, I found out I had breast cancer. And I've had, you know, I have a family that's pretty healthy, and, you know, I've been extremely healthy for the most part, most of my life. And I'm really sensitive. So I'm a baby, you know, I'm a terrible patient. Stick me with a, you know, to get blood. I'm like, oh, where are you going to do it? And, you know, I'm just not good. I'm more anxious in that way. And so when I found out I had breast cancer, I was kind of shocked. And then, you know, I started the process of, what do you have to do? And I'm in the middle of teaching all these people. We had almost 100 people in the core, and we had all this other stuff going on. And, you know, I was trying to buy a house in Berkeley, which is harder than having chemo. Okay. So trying to find a house in the, you know, in the Bay Area, it's a terrible experience. And all that was going on. And because of the connection, because I didn't understand until this happened, because I was so connected to this larger body, like, we call it, like, a unified body. So the people that have been doing this practice in this more committed way, you know, the ongoingness, it's literally like we have a shared circuitry. Like, you can actually feel like you're not alone. And you're like, it's like with a lover, like when you have a real lover, and you feel like you're not alone, like you actually can feel them wherever they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your bodies feel like one body. You know, it's kind of a different thing. It's kind of like that, but we're not lovers. And, you know, but there's some shared something that you can actually, is tangible. It's really different than anything that I've ever had with any group of people, for sure. And when I started going through the process, it was really kind of easy. And I had chemo and I threw up twice, barely.
Wow.
And it was a non-issue. Like the whole thing, everybody was watching me and they're thinking, she's being so, like, she's so not making a big deal out of it. It was almost like I'd forget that I had cancer. You know, and I was going through the, you know, I had a lumpectomy and the various stuff. But what I realized was this is not the way that I would deal with this, not in any way, shape, or form. I'm having the least amount of pain or hassle. And I feel like it's not an issue. Like, how can you have cancer and have it not be an issue? I mean, we're always about our issues. Everyone's working on their issues, right? You know, if you have cancer, it's an issue. And what I realized afterwards, and I, you know, I'm cancer free and I'm fine and everything is, and I was the easiest patient. I wasn't at all myself during this process, not my normal, you know, more anxious, annoying patient self. And I realized at the end of it, I thought there's something about what we have in this connection that's creating an issuelessness. And then I got the bright idea because I love challenges and I love challenging other people. And I thought, well, maybe we could become issueless instead of being together to work on our issues, which is so dreary after a while. You know, it just gets to be so like, really? Is that what we're going to do? And humans have issues. Is we started to work together with the circuitry, but also with people's individual lives. And what would it take to either deal with the real issues that are there and to dissolve the relationship with our lives so the things that aren't really issues could actually dissolve as issues?
What a great question. We blew past our quick commercial break there. We're going to jump in as we ponder that being issueless. It's a little hard to say there.
Issuelessness.
Well, we'll ponder our, what would it be if you were issuelessness. I'm thinking a lot of people would go, what do I have to talk about, Patricia? But we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Patricia Albert, and she is the founder and creator of the Mutual Awakening Practice. We've been talking about it, how it differs from meditation, as well as she works a lot in the sustained awakening of us. I'll call it that. And it's not singular, as we've heard. Now, this idea of when we had to take the quick commercial break was issuelessness. It's not easy to say here. But anyway, you guys have been listening. You know what we're talking about here. I'm really fascinated about that idea of what would it be like if we were all issuelessnesses. I mean, issueless. I'm so fascinated by that whole idea of that, and how and where healing takes place when it isn't an issue. Let's talk a little bit of your experience. Yeah. People have gone, oh my gosh, it isn't an issue.
Well, I mean, the other thing too is the immune system. You know, I mean, we're so wired. It's all me. It's my body. It's my immune system. It's my this. It's my that. It's like we're so wired that it all has to be me, my responsibility, you know, my problems, my things I did wrong, and da da da. And what if in learning how to connect from the origin point, which is very different than just two personalities trying to help each other, maybe there's a whole other possibility. Literally. And that's what we've been discovering. Like one of the practices, what people that knew how to do the practice really well, one of the women was this delightful young 30-something who works at Google. And she got to be really good friends with one of the women who was in the group who was in her 70s, right? Virginia, who's a trip. Anyway, and sort of tough woman, but very particular, very, very much herself. And then Genevieve at one point said to, they were doing the practice a lot of times together. And Jen was like, you know, Virginia, you have this quality where you let yourself really be loved. You really allow yourself to be loved. And I really respect that. And I really wish I had that. And Virginia could be kind of, you know, grouchy even, but she always was loved. Like, you know, some people can be like grouchy and you just love them.
Several people come to mind when you say that.
Yeah, she just had that, right? And you're just kind of like, how does she do that? And Jen created a practice with our practice, right? She called it a spondic reciprocity, which I won't explain. But so they did a practice where instead of just doing the origin point connection, she had Virginia go inside herself and experience the place in her that allows herself to be loved. Which most of the time, if you have some gift, something, you're not even aware of it. Like you don't ever look at, well, where's that freedom that I have? You know, some people are really funny or they're, you know, they have certain kinds of freedoms, right? Kind of, it's almost like a city, you know, it's like some kind of superpower. And so, and Jen went inside her and her experience. So she was like inside her experience of that. And she was literally like grokking it. She was literally experiencing it for herself inside Virginia. And Virginia's experience was deepening because they were sort of both there together. Mm-hmm. And then they switched. And you could feel like Jen is so different. She changed. And you could feel like she had what Virginia had. It was almost like one of those transfers, like, you know, you plug two machines in and they transfer information.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, why wouldn't that be possible? Like, why can't, you know, like if you're that deeply connected and you start to have a way of really being inside each other, why couldn't that activate certain kinds of possibilities for each of us? You know, if you're really sensitive and careful and kind, and I'm more risk-taking and, you know, fiery and courageous, you know, maybe if we like are close and we literally allow that kind of looping and exchange, you get to be more feisty and I get to be more calm. That would be good.
Wow. Well, we're just adding tools to our toolbox. I love this.
But it's real. It's like a living exchange.
Yeah.
that there's so many things that are possible through not just the practice, but the development of this connection. And that's the thing I'm excited about, because I mean, having done individual work forever, it's kind of like, it feels like most of that territory has been covered. You know, there's shadow work. I mean, there's so many things that have been discovered that are really powerful and very useful for people. This is like the Wild West. I mean, this is like a whole new world of what's possible together.
Wow, that's a great question. What's possible together? That's fascinating to me. Yeah. So I love this idea of where they were able to find not only parts of someone else, but taking them deeper into understanding themselves as
Absolutely.
Well. To me, it's
yeah.
a beautiful two-part there. Now, what are some other things that you have found on this? I'm just fascinated by this journey and not even sure what questions to ask, because it's so, a part of it feels like I'm home and talking about it from somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
But another part of me is like, I have no idea what territory we're standing on. So,
well, there's some other things. One of it is that this unilocal consciousness, this mutual awakening consciousness, is made of a kind of intimacy. So the quality of awareness that becomes very alive for people is this sense of being inside others, being inside life, you know, being inside the squirrel that just went by. You know, it's kind of like, it's more like you know how to enter in and be something. So you know things through being them, like, you know, rather than knowing about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, witnessing an observation is informative, but you don't know anything until you've been it.
Right.
And when you enter inside of things and your consciousness is naturally like that, you know people. Like I, you know, even when I'm not, you know, doing the practice with someone, I'm embodying this at this point. And you know, when I go hiking up at near here, and there was this German shepherd, this lady with a German shepherd who went by, and you know, he looked like Rin Tin Tin. You know, he was like a real German shepherd, real dog. And he goes walking by, and you know, and I just got this flash, like he was really like he felt like he should have been in the army or something. You know, he was like that kind of dog. And so he goes walking by, and then they came walking back, and he had a big stick in his mouth, and he was just kind of like, you know, working on the stick. And I had to say to her, because I could feel him. He was so strong. Like his energy as a dog was so strong, because I could feel him from inside. It was like he was dying to like go save someone's life or do something. And I said, this may sound weird to you, but I really feel your dog. And I told her what I felt. She goes, you have no idea. She goes, he's like always trying to like do something, you know, like it's almost like he's not there to have fun. He's there to like save. The stick was like he was saving somebody's life. I totally grokked the dog, you know, because I was like my energy just kind of like slipped inside, and it was just delightful. You know, it was this moment with her and obviously with, you know, her dog, and it didn't, you know, change the world, but it makes this quality of intimacy, you know, of feeling your parents, of sensing into the people that you work with or what's happening in the room. I mean, you're more aware of all of the kinds of collective connections and, you know, and the qualities of separation. You can actually see the part that's depressing is that you realize how hopeless it is. You know, as far as trying to handle the divisiveness in the world, we're going to do that from separation and talking across the divide? I don't think so.
It's funny that you bring that up, because just a few moments ago, my mind wandered to that area of, okay, what happens if someone has very firm boundaries, or, you know, I'm thinking of all these what if things that come about with that. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, the origin point is in the causal realm. So, I mean, you're basically, it's not a solid. See, you can only have boundaries if you think you're a body and a bunch of feelings and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because the boundaries are psychological boundaries, physical boundaries, etc., right? When you're coming from something deeper, there's no the connection is on a different realm.
I guess my question is, did the dog feel you as well? Did the dog know
that he might have, probably.
You were there?
I mean, I think animals, they so can feel you, feel them. Do you know what I mean? Like they have a different kind of awareness.
Yes.
I think animals are much easier. I think that's probably why St. Francis had the relationship with animals and birds that he had.
Well, and I've seen other people that have an amazing relationship with animals and birds and out in nature.
Yeah, and they can get inside.
Butterflies land on them and things like that. Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's not like, you know, you don't tell somebody what you're feeling if they are the kind of person who's like very much like everybody go away and leave me alone.
That's what I was wondering. Well, we need to take our final quick commercial break because we're down to the last 10 minutes. I'm so fascinated by this. I'm just blowing past our commercial breaks. One of the things that fascinates me, I want to talk about, is this idea of when maybe we bump into those people who are just like, yeah, no. So we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Patricia Albert. And as you've been hearing, as much as I've been hearing, this idea of mutual awakening, this understanding of, I'll say, this new dimension of consciousness. I'm not sure how else to describe it. And all these amazing possibilities for humankind in the future. And wow, I'm just thinking of what an amazing place if we all had this understanding and this connection. Oh my gosh. So, and I'm thinking of how many people nowadays, the only connection they have is with their phone. So
that's true.
Part of me is a little disheartened here that this might be, you know, a different type of awakening. But in the last 9 minutes here, I just want to know a little bit more about creating connections with people, having the concept of permission. If I wanted to, begin exploring it. Some of those things are my questions that are all bubbling up in me. So you choose, because that was sort of a smorgasbord there.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, the first thing is this is a very, very nascent new consciousness, shared awakening, living shared awakening, having access to that is new. So the first thing is, you know, I realized when I wrote the book, you know, and I kind of told people how to do it, you know, no one's going to do it from a book, you know? So I realized I had to develop a four-part course so I could take people in four times at least and give them the context and give them more of some of, you know, the understanding of what it was all about. So they could actually practice and bring them with other people who wanted to do it. Cause you can't do this with someone who doesn't want to do it. I mean, this is mutual. You can't sit on your couch by yourself. You actually have to have another human who knows what they're doing and wants to do it and wants to come into that shared quality of
brings up a quick question, though. I'm just curious, probably a silly question, but if two people are trained, could they do it from different locations? They don't have to be face to face, right?
No, I mean, we have a global practice community. So, you know, teaching people is one thing. And then I realized then they have to continue to have people to practice with because that's hard to organize. And so we actually have, it would be like a yoga studio where we have classes once or twice a day at this point. And I do some teaching once a month. That's a longer thing for the people that are in it so they can go deeper. So people get on from all over the world on Zoom. Okay. So we'll have like 40 people in a class, you know, they're all there. And then I say, whatever I say, I set it up or one of the teachers sets up, you know, kind of moving into the practice. Then they go into breakout rooms. So it would be just you and I, and I would just see you and you would just see me, and we would do a half hour practice. And then we come back and then people share and ask questions and then people go off and do their day. So it's kind of like a 1 hour yoga class or something.
Right. But they don't have to be physically present on, you know, on two chairs facing each other type of thing. Wow. Okay.
No. It's amazing. No, I mean, we figured, and we have people from, you know, Ireland call in and someone from Vancouver. And there's something about the fact that it's on Zoom. Like the other day I taught a class and we had someone from Japan, Russia, you know, all around America. And, you know, you have, I mean, my vision is to have, if we could have that be that there were thousands of people, different languages, you know, classes happening every hour, I think something would happen. You know how when people meditate en masse? But this is even more because you've got people in full connection together. Do you know what I mean? Like creating a kind of unitive, really unitive experience. And we've challenged them. Like no one's ever gotten on. People get on, you know, bad mood, whatever it is. You cannot get off and not experience being connected and experiencing love.
Awesome. Wow. We're done.
No one has managed, like in 2 years, no one's managed to like, you know, defy that.
Awesome. We're down to the last law. 5 minutes, Patricia. What are some final thoughts you'd like to share? And then how do we get your book, find the course? And I think you have a starter kit for
us. Yeah, I do. Yeah. So, I mean, if people are curious, because this really is a different perspective that you sort of have to wrap your head around. So if it's at least, you know, confusing, but if you're curious, they should go to evolutionarycollective.com. Okay. So evolutionarycollective.com. And right on the page, they'll see this lovely looking map. And then it says starter kits start here. And what that is actually my best-selling book, the first part of it, the first four chapters, plus an additional e-course that takes each chapter deeper. So that's like a really pretty solid beginning. And then at some point after they've gotten all that, they'll be invited to a free workshop with me so they get to actually experience that origination point connection. And I tell them more about mutual awakening. So they actually get to
now
experience.
Where can we find the full book? It's called, the title's Evolutionary Relationships, Unleashing the Power of Mutual Awakening. That's the full title.
By Patricia Albert. Yeah. And that's on Amazon. So they can just click on Amazon and
fantastic.
Get it. Evolutionary Relationships. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty, I mean, one thing is if you have people who want to find out about it from a health standpoint or from a relationship standpoint, it's also unbelievably good if you're in a relationship. Like if you learn how to do this and do this with each other, your relationship just got shot to the moon. You know, I mean, it's really, really, I mean, Peter and I had what I think many people dream of.
Wow. And what I have always said is that how you do one thing is how you do everything. So in my mind, once you learned how to do this, it would become just part of what you do. Yeah.
Part
of what you do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Any final thoughts in the last couple minutes?
Just to thank you. It's been such a pleasure. You're such a curious, open, and you have so much knowledge and intelligence. It's like really
fun. Well, thank you. Thank you. And everyone, Patricia was introduced to me, and I, like she said, I am a naturally curious person. I'm so fascinated by this whole topic and the possibilities. So I want you to pop over to her website, which is evolutionarycollective.com. We'll have that over at Understanding Autoimmune if you need help spelling all of that, whatever. Pop over there. One of my things, choosing one thing to optimize. And somehow I see this like optimization on steroids. So
I have to say one more thing because it's just too perfect. Part of what you learn in the practice is the optimizing force. So the optimizing force is what moved through Peter and I. So one of the things you learn is from that origination point, the optimizing force is what you open to.
My thing about wellness is too many people want to be healed and healed now and awesome. I found that optimizing at least one thing a day, it builds on itself. If people say, 365 brilliant. Optimizations for a year. No. The cool thing about this is it builds. You have one optimization, lay it on top and lay it on top. And pretty soon you've got an amazing healing practice going on. And I see this as being part of that,
absolutely.
The next level. So everyone, I wish we had more time with Patricia. We'll have her back because I'm absolutely fascinated. And we'll do this journey together. Send me some comments and some notes and let's do this interesting journey together. Everyone, have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next week for another exciting new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.